live to live righteously. Hey, it's me, Richie T, and it's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 6th of March, and joining me is the anxious white birthday.
Yay!
Hey, Brittany.
It's my birthday.
And you're doing all sorts of adulting. You're helping me out, which is great.
Yeah, right? On my birthday.
Taking your car to get fixed.
On my birthday.
What's going on with the car?
So, I mean, everything's wrong with that car.
I don't know why you haven't bought a new one yet. I know you don't want to have a car payment, but is this worth it?
Because
the answer to me is no. At the point that my car becomes like how your car has been, where it's like, probably going to the shop, I go, nope, probably buying a new one, and I'll figure out a way to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that every time that I've decided that I was just done with it, and I go to the dealerships or whatever, and I realize how expensive new cars are, I just kind of get... I get anxious about it, and then
you get a little gun-shy?
And then I'm like, nah, I'll just deal with the fact that the tires are falling off and the windows won't roll down or up, and, you know, probably I'm going to drop my engine in the middle of the freeway or something.
Right, because it's paid for.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I just replaced the transmission on it last year.
Right.
So the latest thing is that the window will roll down on the passenger side of the car. The window will roll down, but it won't roll back up.
So don't roll it down.
You'd think.
Right.
You would think.
Okay.
And so I went to Logan last week, and that's when I realized that because we rolled it down, Levi and I.
My whatever.
And then it wouldn't roll back up. Keep in mind, it was 7 degrees in Logan at the time, and we were coming out of Sardine
Canyon. So why would you roll down the window at all with it being 7?
Because we thought that we had seen some deer on the hillside, and so we were rolling down the window to get a better look at the wildlife.
Okay.
And then it wouldn't roll back up. So it was a good 20 minutes of driving with the frigid, snowy air.
So were you able to get it back up then eventually?
Had to go to a Big O Tire, and they rolled it back up. They said it's broken, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they
like
just
the mechanics of it are
correct.
Broken.
So they were able to just put it in the closed position, and they said just don't unroll it again. And so and Levi was aware of that, and last night he just forgot.
Right.
So then I had to take it to a different mechanic who charged me twice as much to do the same job. Which is not super cool, but
yeah. So now you're getting the mechanism fixed so it can roll up and down.
No, now we've disabled it so it can't roll down.
Oh.
Period.
Okay.
Now the window just won't move, which means it will not pass a safety test. Right.
Right. So when is that happening?
September.
Okay.
So that's the deadline.
September.
Yeah, that's the deadline.
Yeah, now you have time to save up some money.
Sure. Except for I'm going to be unemployed in 2 weeks.
I mean, you can work places like
sure,
call
I could,
centers. And
I could go
stuff
get
like
a
that.
Job.
Yeah.
You know, or I could just hope
you're not a victim of not being able to work.
No.
Like you're capable of being able
to
work.
I just keep hoping that my investments in Dash currency will pay off.
Yeah.
So, do you know what that is?
No, I don't. I have no idea what it is.
You know what Bitcoin is?
Sure.
Cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So I guess like Bitcoin is kind of like failing a little bit, but Dash is really like for several reasons, Dash is starting to like pick up or whatever.
Okay.
And I mean, it's laughable like to me because I don't really understand it. But like if I told you how much we've made.
How much you personally have made?
Well, I have a small percentage of this. Whatever, but like if it keeps climbing the way it's been climbing, like I will never have to work again.
You know how hokey that sounds, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Which is why, like, you know.
I got hit up by a thing today online. I love how people, because I have, you know, I'm not being boastful, but I have a pretty big reach as far as online stuff goes, right?
Sure.
So someone hits me up today and is like, get this. And I'm like, oh. I already know I don't want to do this, but all right, that's fine. I will get this. Because, you know, maybe.
Who knows?
What you do is you watch videos and you get paid for it.
Oh, those sorts of...
And I said, yeah, okay. And I'm like, well, how much do you get paid for it? Right? Because, I mean...
50 cents per video.
Right. Yeah, right? So it's like 50... It can be between 50 cents and $4 per video. And I'm like, all right, because, you know... I mean, I certainly have a computer open all morning.
Sure.
You know, I can click a play and then go to another screen and then, you know, have that going and come back and whatever. So I was like, well, cool. How is it going for you so far? And she's like, oh, it's great. It's great. You know, the first little bit of work you do pays for the $50 that you have to pay up front, to which I already went, red flag. And then I said, well, how much have you gotten paid for it? Yeah. Oh, well, I haven't been paid yet. And I was like, all right, here's the deal. I will totally do this once you get your first paycheck.
Right. Right.
I am totally on board. You contact me and I will tell everyone about it as soon as you get your first check in hand money.
Which is, and I mean, and that's exactly what I did, because I'm as cynical as the day is long when it comes to those sorts of things. Plus, I've had people in the past say things like, you know, let me have some of your money and I'll invest it in, you know, this stock or that stock or whatever. And they lose it all.
Right.
Right. And I never invest very much. But here's with this in particular, it was kind of interesting because I said the same thing. I'm like, you show me a return.
Mm-hmm.
You show me how this is going to work. And then I will think about investing some money. And so Levi did, like, he put in, I'm not going to tell you how much because that's his private business.
Bit.
Yeah. More than a little money,
okay,
you know, into this. And within months had doubled his investment enough to where he
with
could,
like, tangible, hey, look, I can show you this money. Or is it like all on a computer? Because that's the thing. Because then you go and try and get money from it. And it's like,
let me just look over at Levi and say, like, I can talk a little bit about this, right, without going into actual numbers. OK, so yes. The way that it works with things like Dash or whatever is that he was able to take this cryptocurrency and turn it into actual literal silver.
Okay.
So, like,
this sounds so sketchy, by the way.
But at the same time, do you have a pile of silver sitting in your house?
No.
Like, and silver
appreciates there is a pile of silver somewhere that belongs to your whatever
he is. He made back his original, so he took out his original investment, so he hasn't lost anything.
Nice.
And now it's just,
and he's got a pile of silver.
And a pile of silver. So, you know, so I've invested a little bit into that, and I'm just hoping that it continues, because it's on this upward.
Right.
As more people find out about it, it's just whatever. So anyway, if you want to know about Dash, go look into it on the internet.
Google this thing called Dash.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to, like, talk about this because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. But
so if your Dash money comes through, then maybe you'll be able to get a new car.
Yeah, maybe I should be able to go get a new car with all my my dirty silver Dash money.
Do you take silver bars? There's some silver coins.
All I have is silver. I have gold bullions, beef bullions.
It's the sack of silver pieces.
So what else is new? Anything else new? You and I both in a show that closes in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so then episodes become
really
sad for people listening. Then episodes of the Cultural Hall become a lot more regular. Although, you know, you'll get this episode today, and then we'll get another Articles of News this week and a numbered episode. Yep. I interviewed Henry Ian Cusick.
I saw that.
Desmond from Lost.
He's dreamy. And I realized something.
What?
When Comic-Con was here last year, I was having lunch at Siegfried's, which is just right.
Yeah, it's like a little German place, right?
Yeah, or delicious little German delicatessen.
It is German, right?
Yeah. And I think he was here. Was he here for Comic-Con last year?
I think he was here filming a movie.
Okay, because I saw him at Siegfried's and my mind couldn't make the connection. And it was one of those, I know him.
As you walked by, did you say, I'll see you on the other side, brother?
No, I did not.
Because I wanted to do that in the interview I did with him so very badly.
Wait, you interviewed him for the Cultural Hall?
Yeah.
Is he Mormon?
No, he's not. But he's in a movie called Frank Versus God about an atheist's discovery about God.
Oh, huh. Okay.
But he was in that film, Just Let Go, that we interviewed the director for a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
And that was about the guy who, his family died in a car accident from a drunk driver.
Right. And I guess there is, I'm sure this might be one of your articles, but I have a personal connection to it. So it's possible that your listeners may have heard of the story of the bishop.
The plane crash.
That is my...
Well, save it. We'll get to it in Articles of News.
Oh.
But there's a personal connection.
But there's a personal connection.
So stick around for that. We got tons of Articles of News, too, because we didn't do articles last week.
Sweet.
So.
But just tell me, this Desmond Tutu.
Mm-hmm. His last name's not Tutu.
Is he as dreamy in person?
I didn't get to meet him in person. It was on the phone. But he's as dreamy on the phone.
Okay. That's all right, I guess.
Because he's got the accent. And, like, his life is rad. I don't want to spoil it, but he's lived some pretty cool places.
Yeah.
He's just really decent. Really decent guy.
Huh. I look forward to hearing
it. And I ask him what his favorite part of his faith is. So that's kind of a fun thing there at the end.
I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, good. Yep. It'll be out this week. Episode 225
Sweet.
Will come out this week.
So I don't think anything else new or interesting really to report to you.
Nice.
I know.
For me right now, I've got at my house literally right this second, Dalton, the American named Hispanic gentleman. He is loading the sheetrock into my new home.
Woo.
Going to be hanging the sheetrock tomorrow.
Woo.
Yep.
All over? Because you
yep.
basically tore down every wall
pretty much
in your home.
Pretty much. He'll get that up and mudded and finished, as the kids call it. And then my back bedrooms. Yeah, that's what they call it.
Really? Is that, are you being serious?
That's
is
what
that
they
like
call it. Finished, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't keep up.
So then once the walls get finished, then I'll be able to paint them. Boom. My back two bedrooms available to rent out.
I wouldn't. You're going to put that out there. You're going to get the weirdest people
trying to. Without a kitchen. If you want to live in a house without a kitchen.
Seriously?
There's not a kitchen yet.
What do you do? Do you just like get takeout?
I don't live there.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you're still.
I have a girl who lives in the basement, and I do not live there.
But she has a kitchen.
Nope. She
what?
Does not have a kitchen.
So
she eats in her car. I feel bad about it.
So basically, it's just a bedroom with a bathroom.
Right.
Okay.
And the upstairs wouldn't have a bathroom. So I'm working on it. The downstairs has a bathroom.
Totes want to move in your house.
It was really bad. It was a bad, everything was old. Had to rip everything out.
When you first talked about this place, I was like, oh, so is it, you know, like a fixer-upper? And you're like, it's a bit of a fixer-upper.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
And I'm just like, it's not.
I like downplaying that stuff. It was terrible.
So you got it for a song, I hope.
Yeah. A little bit of a dance, but mainly just a song.
That's good.
But it's been really fun. Now I get to start doing some of the outside stuff as well as the inside stuff, which is great. I like doing that stuff a lot.
Inside, outside, Richie's house.
Stupid.
Oh. Not my best
speaking
work.
Of parody songs, you still doing this stuff online? Parody songs?
So hopefully, as soon as the show ends, like mm-hmm. that's kind of when I'm going to start focusing more on building content for the Anxious White Virgin website.
AnxiousWhiteVirgin.com?
Yep. AnxiousWhiteVirgin.com. And that's when all of those things will happen. Maybe we'll use you. I think we could use you for something.
I'm definitely usable.
Yeah. But you just don't have time. That's
no,
the problem.
No, I could do it.
You think?
Pencil me in.
Okay.
Pencil, not pen.
Okay. We'll have you on the podcast.
Yes.
Perfect. Whenever that happens.
I love it.
No, we actually did record like the first episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's
what do
so
you call it?
It's so bad that it's laughable. Oh, the Anxious White Podcast.
Okay. Nice. Good name. So, if you go back and listen to, and you can do it at theculturalhall.com, you just have to scroll back a lot. You can go back and listen to the very first episode of the Cultural Hall.
Is it so bad? Like,
it's like,
are there doorbells in the background and like people talking and cats walking across things? No. Because that's how bad mine is.
No, ours is we meander. It's me and Lauren. I don't know what her last name is now, but Johnson was her name back then. When we go, yeah. Well, I guess. Oh, here's an episode of the Cultural Hall, and I guess we'll, you know, I mean, we'll do some news, and how are you doing? All right. So there's, exactly, a whole lot of talking over each other. There's, I don't know.
You know what I've learned about podcasting, which I didn't think this was a thing, but here's my naivete, I guess because I've just been working with you guys, and you guys are so awesome, is that
it's hard to be interesting for any amount of time and keep it going.
Well, there's
that.
Because
that's what I find with most podcasts is I just go, I want to turn my headphones down or just be wherever I'm at listening to the podcast, like at the gym if I'm listening to a friend's or whatever, and just be like, so boring! So boring!
Yes and. Levi, will you silence your phone? That is so rude.
Great, speaking. Where's the cats?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Coming across the microphone.
Yes and. Podcasting is hard. Like, to do a podcast is hard because you have to understand, and actually I think this is why people who do improv might actually be better at podcasting, because you understand the whole, like, you can kind of read someone else.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So there isn't that talking over, because that was the biggest thing I noticed in the first episode that I tried to record. It was just me and one other person, but there was no, it didn't feel like give and take. It felt like fighting for the speaking.
Right.
You know, I didn't explain that well, but what I'm saying is I think there's a lot of people who think that they're good at podcasting and they probably
aren't.
They're
not.
So
everybody needs a podcast is what is not the truth.
Yeah. It's a skill. I didn't realize it was a skill, I guess. And a skill that I possess.
Mm-hmm. that I must have for my own.
And born here, so, you know.
All right, let's take a break. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Mm. Going to Hawaii in a couple weeks.
Oh.
Yep, show closed, going to Hawaii. Taking a break. Don't call me. Won't be available.
There's grass there that's alive.
What?
There's living grass there.
And beaches.
No, if you touch the grass, it will react to you.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that.
Oh. That's pretty cool.
But you don't want to lay down on that stuff.
You don't?
No, you get swallowed up.
It's The Happening, or whatever that stupid movie was.
I was thinking a little bit more of like a Little Shop of Horrors, but then I couldn't remember the Seymour.
Feed me, Seymour.
But what's the plant's name?
Audrey.
Audrey 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
We just went down a nerdy rabbit hole. Let's take a break for a second. We'll come back and do actual articles of news.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. You know, I get a lot of emails with questions from customers, and here's one. Dear Dan, I love to do business at your stores, but I have a lot of Apple and PC stuff. It's too bad because I like doing business with local people. I wish there was a way to make all of my gadgets work together. Signed, Scattered. Dear Scattered, Windows, Mac, Android, we can make all of them sync up for you. Your phone, tablet, and PC. They'll all be one big, happy, diverse family. So Scattered, bring in all your Apple and PC stuff. Now that's comfort and peace of mind. Get a brand new PC laptop's desktop for just $799 with a lifetime parts and labor warranty at any PC laptop's location while supplies last. $799, you can't beat that deal. Please visit any one of our locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
All right, we've got so many stories here, and I asked you to do stories, so you have some, I hope, right?
Yeah, I have some, and there's one that's like, I'm actually really, really happy with some of these.
Good.
Because they're just nonsense, and I love it.
They're just nonsensical
stories?
They're
funny.
Okay.
It's funny stuff.
All right.
So.
I like to start with lists, so let's start here. Here are five interesting facts about the Articles of Faith.
Okay.
Because we just celebrated the anniversary of the Articles of Faith, March 1st, 1842.
Okay.
The first one, the Articles of Faith were originally written, do you know this?
19...
No, not the year, what they were originally written for. Like, he wasn't like, hey, here's Articles of Faith and we'll include it in our scriptures.
I don't know that I ever learned this, so tell me.
They were written as a response from the Prophet Joseph Smith to John Wentworth, who is the editor of the Chicago Democrat. Wentworth sent the inquiry on behalf of his friend George Barstow, who was writing a historical book about New Hampshire. Joseph wrote what is now known as the Wentworth Letter, which contained a message of the Restoration, the First Vision, the Standard of Truth, and the Articles of Faith. There is no evidence that Wentworth or Barstow ever published any part of the letter. So part of the Wentworth letter. Number two, previous lists and summarizations of the LDS faith had been made prior to the Wentworth letter. Authors of such lists include Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Parley P. Pratt, and Joseph Young. Multiple lists of LDS belief continued to be created even after the Wentworth letter was created.
That's number interesting.
Three, the Articles of Faith were included in the 1851 pamphlet, The Pearl of Great Price, which was compiled after Elder Franklin D. Richards used them in the British mission. Also included in the pamphlet were sections from the current Doctrine and Covenants, selections from the books of Abraham, Moses, and also a church hymn. Number four, while members used the Articles of Faith as a popular way to share their faith, they were not officially adopted as part of the standard works until what year? 1880 during a general conference of the church. And then number five, today the Articles of Faith are used by millions of members around the world. Missionaries share them with those that are interested in our faith. Primary children memorize them. Adults recall them as a reminder to do good. They've been placed on many interesting products, such as an Articles of Faith bookmark, children's poster, adult poster, pocket card for both the young men and the young women.
What is your favorite article of faith?
To sing, I like that we believe that the first principles and ordinances of the gospel are first,
faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Second, and I always like that one because you can always do repentance.
Third, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins.
And then I always love fourth because it seems like you're cramming in all sorts of syllables. Fourth,
laying on of hands for the
gift of the Holy Ghost. And I could never memorize them until the songs came out. So there it is, a list. Look how much fun we had.
Right? I like the one that says, let them worship how, where
or what they may.
Or what they may. I like that. My turn?
Yep. With the promise of funny, I'm excited about this.
Have you ever heard of the Sunday Pews? WordPress.com.
Okay.
Okay. That's where they got this from.
Okay.
Area sister fakes death after devastating call to be girls' camp director.
Oh, so this is not a real story.
No, but it's so funny.
All right, read a little
bit
of it. Yep.
Boise, Idaho.
This is fake news.
This is fake news, everyone. Yeah, but in honor of Trump.
All right.
After a comprehensive search of the greater Boise area that began almost 2 weeks ago, authorities say they have found 32-year-old sister Rebecca Todd alive and well in an abandoned potato field. I just felt trapped, she said in a recent interview. I was going to come back eventually, but until camp was over, people needed to believe I was dead.
Getting out of her calling. That's awesome.
It really is. Just go like, I'm assuming this is kind of like The Onion.
Yeah, there's a few of those out there.
Sort of thing, but it's really funny. It talks about her husband. So this is a quote from her husband. I tried to reassure her. I told her if she could just survive until the testimony meeting at the end of the week, it would all be worth it, Jeremy says. She told me to stop trying to fix it. She can be a bit dramatic.
What's the link again?
That is the Sunday Pews. So Pews, P-E-W-S dot like, WordPress
pew, pew, pew,
dot com.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you bet. So this, according to a news release from Mormon Leaks, a site dedicated to unveiling behind-the-scenes information about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the site received a legal notice from the church to remove recently published information, and it now has, in fact, done that.
Okay.
They published a PowerPoint slideshow, which the site alleges was created for the Quorum of the 12 Apostles to discuss what issues and ideas are leading people away from the gospel.
I've seen that.
Of the 17 reasons listed are issues with pornography, church history, current church policies, and the ordained women movement. Several individuals are specifically listed as causes for people to leave the church, such as John DeLynn and Denver Snuffer, who have both maintained blogs expressing their contempt for church practices. The slideshow is dated December 8th, 2015. DeLynn, on his website Mormon Stories, said the slideshow lacked responsibility on the part of the Quorum of the Twelve. Quote, in no instance does the Quorum of the Twelve demonstrate introspection as to what they or the church might be doing to contribute disaffection from the church, he said. In response to the Mormon League's publication, the church issued a legal notice to the site informing them that the PowerPoint presentation was in fact copyrighted and that the Mormon League's publication of it is a violation of copyright law.
Dun,
so they took it down so they didn't have to face all the legal action with all that. A couple interesting quick stories. In October 2014, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was taking care of last-minute details in preparation for a general conference, and Club Jam, which is a gay bar in the Marmalade District, which is just to the west of downtown Salt Lake.
It's a really pretty district.
They were making preparations as well, and those plans included hoisting a golden mannequin fashioned to resemble the Angel Moroni onto the roof of the club. Was part of a series of events and themed nights at the popular club that many members of the LDS Church and the gay community considered offensive and intolerant. Quote, it is sad, this is a quote from the church back in 2014, it is sad to see events like this deliberately designed to offend and alienate given any kind of attention. Now, Brandon Purser, who just recently purchased the bar in December of 2016, has said, you know what? We're getting rid of these LDS-focused theme nights, in part because he himself has a background with the church. He's just said, you know what? A lot of bad reviews, bad for business, tasteless. I'm still going to have a gay bar, and I'm just taking away any of the things that would mock the church.
Hopefully
building some bridges as far as that goes.
Yeah.
This also interesting. The LDS church is opposing a Georgia city renaming a street that would place an already existing Mormon temple to be on Mercedes-Benz Drive. So there's a temple.
Right.
It's on a street. It's probably like Grove Street or something like that. But the German automaker is moving its U.S. corporate headquarters to Sandy Springs, Georgia, which is in the Atlanta area. And they plan to rename what is currently called Barfield Road to be Mercedes-Benz Drive. According to a story from the reporter newspapers, the change is opposed by the church because the name change would also change the street where the temple is located. The Mercedes-Benz brand is known for prestige and luxury and class status and all that sort of thing, said Bill Maycock, who's the LDS Church area spokesman. And we don't do any of that. It's not what the Atlanta Temple is. It's not what the Atlanta Temple teaches its members. The paper said that Mercedes-Benz met with LDS church leaders, but is speeding ahead with its plans. I get it, speeding. We don't feel that the road renaming has an adverse impact or implication to church beliefs, but understand if the church feels it must voice its disagreement to the city. The automaker also said renaming streets around its facilities is a tradition and part of its branding. It owns the naming rights of to the stadium of the NFL's Atlanta Falcons that is under construction. It will be titled the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The city council will be considering renaming the name of the street tomorrow. So fingers crossed we could have a temple on Mercedes-Benz Drive.
So what they're saying is they'd rather have a temple on Barfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
What else you got?
Whatever for Mormons.
Yes.
It's time to start talking about sex.
Is this another fake
No, this
news?
Is BYU iScroll.
Okay. BYU Idaho.
Yep, BYU Idaho scroll. How does the lack of positive conversation about sex affect the church members of the LDS faith?
Okay.
Remember that uncomfortable chastity lesson in Sunday school when your teacher licked a piece of bread and then offered it to you?
Yes.
Or when the instructor would crumple up a piece of paper offering the same analogy that the bread or the paper is now useless and unwanted, and then compared it to your virginity. In reality, these lessons totally frustrate the gospel, said Abby Barney, a BYU Idaho alumni. The atonement makes those crumpled pieces of paper completely new again. Sexual sin is serious, but it still isn't something that we can't become clean from. What is it like to talk about sex in the church? I think it's one of the reasons why we teach it so weird is because we teach it like everything else in the church, said Kendra, a junior studying psychology. While praying, where praying is always good, drinking alcohol is always bad. But sex is the one thing that changes, and we need to figure out a way to teach it differently. And this is a conversation I think that has been had many times,
right? We've talked about it in reference to Elizabeth Smart. She's kind of echoed the same thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a good point. I think that, I mean, I could, if someday we wanted to have a an episode where we just talked about things like that. I could go into my own experiences and whatnot. I think with me, it wasn't chewing gum, and it wasn't bread. It was chewing gum.
Mm-hmm. The already chewed gum.
It was the already chewed gum. And you know what's really interesting is that, like, it's funny how you don't consciously make connections to things until after other things.
Right.
So that is to say, I never really thought, like, if someone were to say to me, so after you have sex, you'll completely lose your worth as a human, right? I would have been like, that's so stupid.
Yeah, that's obviously, like, if we say it like that, we very logically and cognitively go,
yeah. I go, no, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But then the reality is that, you know, when that happens, sometimes there is that. It's more like an identity crisis, I think, than anything, because you don't realize how much of your identity is wrapped up in your virginity.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if that's the same for guys. It may not be, or just from person to person, regardless of gender.
Yeah, I would think it's probably selective person to person, not necessarily a gender.
Right. But that was hugely jarring for me. So, I mean, I agree, I guess, is what I'm saying, that I think there is a way that we can respectfully talk about sex in mm-hmm. church. And even, like, you know, I would love to see some sort of sex education going on in church. Like, for example, I'm just going to just, you know, not that I have any personal knowledge of
sure.
this. Like, no, but these are things I've learned after the fact, right? Things like HPV, which
right.
is a virus.
Right.
A sexually transmitted disease, right? But people, when people hear STD, they're like, oh my gosh, that means someone cheated or whatever. It's not true.
Right.
You know, you could have HPV and only ever been with one partner your whole life.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't mean your partner cheated either. But it is one of those things that you need to be aware of.
Sure.
Because there are vaccinations for it, and sometimes HPV can become cervical cancer.
Right.
You know, but I had no idea that was a thing.
Right.
And I wasn't taught that in school. I mean, do you think that we could teach stuff like that in
sure,
church and have it
yeah.
be respectful and, you know, just
you know,
like,
it's such a hard thing because sex ed in general, right? Like, people get
right.
super paranoid about how it's taught.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of people would be like, well, you get a vaccination for HPV and then that's like a permission slip to be able to have sex without consequences, right?
Right.
And so people go, oh, I don't want my kid being taught that there's a vaccination about that, right? Or even birth control.
Right.
As an option about that.
Right. The whole, if we talk about it, that will make them
yeah,
want to do
no,
it sort
we'll
of thing.
We'll make them curious about it. We'll make them want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, some people subscribe
sure.
to that.
Yeah.
Subscribe to that belief. So the problem is that you have so many people who run that gamut or run the spectrum of where they're comfortable with talking about sex. Like, there
right.
are some parents, like my dad and I, have never talked about sex.
Wow.
Right? Like, I've joked around about it with him because he's uncomfortable about it. But it's just a thing that he, you know, he knew that my mom would take care of talking about anything that I needed to know about it. And so he removed himself from talking about it because it wasn't something he's comfortable about. But there are kids who both parents,
right.
you know, or authoritative figures in their life, don't feel comfortable talking about it. And so they get what they get in school. And if they're not there for a day or two, it's not covered for very long, you know, can be absent.
Right.
Of it. I'm sure that HPV stuff probably was taught to you, but you either A, don't remember, or B, weren't paying attention, or it was so uncomfortable that you just kind of blacked it out. Because it was, I remember those classes, just being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And being a part of it. And then you have the other thing where, like, there are the parents who sit down and they talk to their kids, and at every age, you know, do you have any questions about sex? Let's talk about
do you
how
talk to
this
your kid?
Works, you know? Do I talk to my kid? I've had very frank conversations with my kid.
Because I figure
about
you
it.
Would be the kind of parent that would be like, let's talk about this in
yep.
real, practical, real life application kind of terms, you know, sort of removing even, it's like, you don't even need to talk about sin. Like, let's just talk about the practical application.
Right. Right.
You know,
and that's how we did. And when I had the specific conversation with my kid, I said, you know what? I can't stop you from doing this, and I'm not going to pretend. Here, the experiences that I've had that were
right.
negative around doing this before
right.
being married are
right.
this.
Yeah.
So it's a thing to consider. And then beyond
right.
that, I said, you know, but here's the smartest piece of advice that I can give you. If you decide to do this, please, please, please make sure to take precautions so that you won't get someone pregnant.
Right.
Because then that ties you to another person?
Right.
Or, you know, should that person decide to not have the baby or give that baby up for adoption? There are certainly emotional and mental things that go along with that.
Yep.
So be ready and be aware, be smart and go into it. If you're going to do it, be smart about doing it.
Because let me pose this to you then.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're here, and I promise this will be my last thought on this. I think it might be even more important to teach children, our kids in the church, anywhere, sex from a more practical standpoint, because I think that maybe one of the problems with teaching it in terms of like sin
mm-hmm.
is the fact that like, okay, so let's say you do that and it's a sin. I know that the process, I'm not making light of sin. Mm-hmm. I'm not. And I know that repentance from sin can be arduous and grueling and heart-wrenching and whatever. Okay. But like there is still a difference between being able to make peace with God, make peace with your bishop, make peace with people that you've hurt. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a child. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right?
Like I'm not saying it's easier to overcome sin than it is to overcome like an STD.
Right.
But the thing is like an STD or an unwanted pregnancy, this is something that is going to be a physical, tangible part of your life.
Right.
For the rest of your life. And so I think we do a disservice when we just teach in terms of, well, it's wrong until you're married, you know, and kind of hammer the sin portion of it.
Right.
As opposed to, let's talk about why, practically speaking, this could be a bad idea.
Right.
You know, because I'd like to think that even though, like, especially with kids, their brains aren't super developed yet,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that they can still be reasoned with.
Sure.
And you can make an appeal to their intellect and not just their, you know, like the fear of God sort of thing,
sure.
You know? Anyway, so that's my thoughts. Like, teach both, but I would have loved, I think, and would love to see more practically taught sort mm-hmm. of things.
Well, and then the other side of it too, which is that you're still worthwhile should you do it, right? Because
absolutely.
That's the other thing. Like I remember just, you know, fairly, quote, air quotes, minor things in my youth.
Right.
And then I went to the bishop and just felt terrible, terrible, beat myself up over it, terrible. And I don't know that it was the most effective way for me to be able to feel, you know, better and continue to do the things that I wanted or needed to do within the church.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I know we need to get moving on, but like, yes, bottom line, like, I don't think that in any way, shape or form, we should even be leading people to believe that their self-worth, their value is tied up in whether or not they are sexually intact or not. Like, that's just asking for destruction. So,
all right. So let's move on. I got some news stuff. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Two men that were accused. Well, we talked about this the last time when we had an Articles of News and Britt was here. Breathing heavy. Sorry about that, everyone. If you listen to that episode, I know Britt, not you, the other Britt, is breathing fairly heavy. And people are like, I like having him here and I like his insight. But can we please get him to not breathe so heavy into the microphone? So
that's funny.
I will talk to him. We talked about the trailer missing from the Boy Scout trailer. Well, two people have been charged, Timothy Neil Bruce and Christopher Wayne Cohen. They're charged with taking the trailer from that church in Gainesville. They fortunately, most of the contents of the trailer were recovered and returned to the Boy Scouts. They had phone calls after phone calls of people wanting to donate trailers and donate equipment and stuff like that. Police said the trailer was found through tips from the public. So that trailer, let that be a lesson, Scoutmasters listening to the Cultural Hall. Get your trailers locked up. This, a new Richmond man convicted of burglarizing several churches last year was recently sentenced in St. Croix County Court to 3 years in prison, followed by 3 years of extended supervision. William Rushford pleaded guilty to three felony counts of burglary and had six other charges dismissed. He was also ordered to pay $14,830 in restitution and receive appropriate drug and alcohol treatment. So this was a guy who had burgled a First Lutheran Church in New Richmond and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the town of Hudson. So they caught him as well. Now,
I have one here, but I'll be honest, I read through the first part, and now that I'm reading through the second part, I'm thinking,
maybe not.
Maybe not. So go on, and while I figure
keep
this out.
Searching.
Yeah.
Elder Ronald T. Halverson, who's an Emeritus General Authority, passed away February 24th at his home in Ogden. He was 80 years old. He served as a General Authority Area 70 from 1998 to 2006. He was president of the Norway Oslo mission from 1990 to 93. So he told the LDS Church News in 98 that he was surprised to receive his call as a general authority. Quote, out of all the wonderful qualified people in the church, I kept saying to myself, why me? When the reality of it set in, I had a knot in my stomach for a full month, wondering if I could measure up and do what the Lord asks. The only time I found peace was finally saying, if this is what the Lord wants, I'll just have to rely on him. So a great example, and thoughts and prayers out to the Halverson family. This story. Dinah Clement vividly remembers the day that she realized Brigham Young University students looked at her differently because she is black. She was on campus when a male student commented on her hair. She was flattered until he followed up with an ignorant statement that made her feel uncomfortable. He was from New York, he told her. He said, you know, I'm used to girls like you. You know, girls who wear weaves all the time. She said in a YouTube video posted earlier this month. Clement didn't think the comment was meant to be mean, but she said the lack of cultural understanding is something that she doesn't like about BYU, and it's a problem that's reported by other black students at the mostly white university. Bachelor Johnson IV loves BYU, but said in the video that it's not as cultured as other campuses. He often fields questions from students related to his music or culinary tastes. Quote, Utah as a whole doesn't have many black people, so they don't know how to interact with them, to be honest with you, he said. They ask ignorant questions sometimes, or they bring up touchy subjects that they really have no business bringing up if they're not really trying to learn or to understand to have a genuine conversation. BYU's 325 black people account for fewer than 1% of the 33,000 strong student body. The university has two black full-time faculty members out of 1,257 with continuing status, which is similar to tenure. Three more are on track and three more are adjunct. So if you did some quick math, eight out of 1,257 professors are black at BYU. Eight out of 1,257. So, quote, I want to be able to go to a school and see black figures hold different positions, she said. See people of my own culture being successful and being in a place where people are really open. She hopes that other students continue to see the videos and the conversation so that people can open their eyes and actually try to make a change. And I think it will.
Yeah.
You know, the more that it gets diverse down there, it's unfortunate that you have to go through that.
So this, I should have looked at the name of this before I pulled it up. But
okay.
But it's an interesting article. Unfortunately, there's language in it.
Okay.
And so I can't
really do it justice. What is it?
No.
What's it about?
And I can't even give you the name of the blog because it's got never mind. But it brings up an interesting point,
which is
language, offensive language in the LDS Church, and what do you consider offensive language? Because I think the point of the article is talking about how the church has prided itself on distinguishing maybe from the rest of the world
that by not swearing
by using proper or good language and ladylike. That was a specific thing. She made reference to the girls, the women who marched in protest.
So it's it's going back to Elaine Dalton's talk about the being ladylike.
Yes.
Okay.
It references,
which I've got as a story here in a minute.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, then that will be a great segue. Then why don't you just want to do that one?
Sure. You'll have to include the blog and we'll just put a little language advisory with it.
Sure.
In a speech, a former global youth leader in the LDS Church contrasted members of the audience who will lead the world with participants in January's gigantic women's march in New York. Quote, you exemplify everything I prayed you would be. You are everything we prayed for, and I am so, so grateful for you taking advantage of the things that were there to prepare you, said Elaine Dalton. She told this to female members of two East Salt Lake City stakes. The protesters, she said, offered a less flattering picture. "We were in a cab, and as I watched those women marching and yelling," Dalton went on to say, "behaving anything but ladylike and using language that was very unbefitting of daughters of God, my heart just sunk, and I thought to myself, what would happen if all those women were marching and calling to the world for a return to virtue?" The notion of virtue is especially dear to Dalton's heart. She is the one who suggested that they should add it to the list of ideals for the Mormon teenage girls, so the Young Women's Code didn't used to have virtue.
Huh.
You know the...
Yeah.
Do you know the thing?
Yeah, I do. I mean, like, it's been so long, but I do. I remember all the different...
You know, helpful, friendly, obedient.
Courteous, kind. Thrifty.
Right, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And then
baller,
virtuous is the other one. No, it's what it's that thing that the young women's
values.
Yeah,
it's young women's in excellence is what the like you get your young women's in excellence award as you like you know worked on all of these different
like milestones goals.
Yeah, and every week the lesson would be on one of those. You know, at least that's how it was when I was in Young Women's. So
there was definitely some pushback on it. Quote. From Andrea Radke Moss, "For my whole life until I die at the age of 100 plus and beyond, I will feel proud that I participated in the Women's March of 2017. I marched to defend virtue. I marched against hatred, objectification, assault, injustice, intolerance, racism, and the tearing apart of families." For the historian, it was a moment seared in her memory. Quote, "I listened, even to ideas that I didn't fully understand or agree with. I learned, especially about the viewpoints of women with different experiences than my own," Radke Moss wrote. "I loved and others showed love to me. I kept my covenants as I stood for what I believe. I tried to reflect the light of Christ, and I also made my children and my husband proud of me." And that's the kind of take that I go. And I don't think that, or I would certainly hope not, so maybe I'm giving credit where credit isn't due. I think that Elaine Dalton wasn't saying, "Hey, don't be a part of the march."
Sure.
But I think, you know, just like there's a way to protest and then there's a way to just be a jerk about protesting.
Uh-huh.
I think that my hope is that that was what she was speaking to, is that the unladylike behavior was the, you know, very... cursory nature of some of the things that were being said. And I understand people being frustrated, and maybe I'm putting words into her mouth, but I would hope that she isn't condemning those who were marching for the things that she stood up in, and rather was just saying, you know what, there is a way to do this that isn't so inflammatory.
Sure. A lot of times it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Right.
Language is the best way I ever heard language was described is it's like casting a spell on people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's rhetoric, right? The words you choose, the inflection in your voice, you know? And for me, language has always been kind of like a science where depending on what reaction I want from people will largely determine what words I use, the tone of voice I use, or even like, I mean, I can have a pretty crass mouth. I mean, I'm sure you've been around in those moments.
Yes, and my ears bled.
Right? But part of that, too, is like understanding your audience, knowing when it's appropriate. It's sort of like learning the rules of a game. You have to learn them first before you can play. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that like when we're protesting, when people protest, I don't think she's saying don't protest. But I think that there is a respectful way to protest that is going to incite conversation and, you know, and then there's a way to protest that's just going to alienate everyone.
Right.
And make them not want to be around you.
You know, it's there's this funny thing, and I'm not sure how old it is, but someone just showed me over the weekend. Justin Trudeau, that handsome prime minister of Canada, he is at a rally about the pipeline, and he's doing a town hall, right? Because people are opposed against it, and I guess he's in favor of it. So people are protesting, and he is talking, and he tries to answer Native Americans' question about something to do with the pipeline. And so he starts to talk, and then these people come in with signs behind and start chanting, you know, they're like, "Bah, the pipeline, it's the pipeline." And so he stops and he says, "What are you trying to tell people?" And they tell him, and he says, "All right, everyone, they would like everyone to know that they would not like the pipeline to be here And they feel like it's a horrible injustice. And then he turns to them and he says, "Now may I have the opportunity to answer his question. Without you interrupting me, can I have your permission to answer this gentleman's question?" Who asked the question the right way, not interrupting me.
Right.
"Can I have your permission?" And they didn't say anything. He said, "I'm waiting for your permission so that I know that I can answer his question without you interrupting me." It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, man, that just makes me so happy. It's like...
It's just, you know,
right.
a time and a place. And I really right. do. I feel...
And respectful conversation. Like, what happened to our ability to talk to each other
mm-hmm.
without it becoming a fight, without it becoming a personal attack, without it becoming
well, you're
victimizing.
Dumb. You don't see it the same
no,
way
you're
I do.
Dumb.
You're dumb.
No, you're stupid.
It drives me crazy.
You... person with a face.
Because I think that there are some things that are being protested within the church.
Yeah.
That I, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, let's
talk about it.
Let's talk about this. I think yeah. this is worth a discussion and a response from both sides.
Right. But you have to know how to communicate first. And that's what I'm saying. You need to understand the rules of the game before you can play. And right now it feels like we're on a football field
mm-hmm.
and everyone's just bringing whatever sports equipment they found in their basement and they're just throwing it at each other.
Take this.
You know?
Here's a couple of things just to look out for. There is a book written by, let's see. Okay, Anna LeBaron recounting how it felt to walk away from her mother, her sisters, and everything she'd known at the age of 13. The daughter of an infamous polygamist cult leader, Ervil LeBaron, Anna had reason to fear. Her father had orchestrated the murders of other family members who had tried to leave the cult, and in 1980 was sentenced to life in prison for ordering the murder of a rival. I look back and I don't completely understand how I was able to walk away, but I did. Now she's 48 years old, and she has a book out. It's called The Polygamist's Daughter.
Hmm.
And it is just fascinating because this guy... Ervil LeBaron was called the Mormon Manson.
No.
And so just crazy cult, creepy, you know, if that's the kind of thing that you know, I know a lot of people are like casually reading those things. So if you're interested in that, it's a book called The Polygamist's Daughter.
That's
okay. her memoir, so you can check that out. And then also this, discourses given by Latter-day Saint women over the past 185 years are now available in a book. It's called At the Pulpit, and it's authored by Jennifer Reeder and Kate Holbrook, who are historians for the LDS Church. It showcases more than 50 speeches that were given by Mormon women since the founding of the church. Only Mormon women, and it's called At the Pulpit. They've selected a couple talks from every decade from 1831 to 2016, as early as Emma Smith, as early as Lucy Mack Smith, as she led the saints from Colesville, New York to Kirtland, Ohio, to Elizabeth Ann Whitney in Kirtland, to Eliza R. Snow traveling throughout the Utah Territory. And you can get At the Pulpit. If you just search At the Pulpit, you can get it at all sorts of different bookstores.
How many years was that compilation?
185 years, from 1831 to 2016.
So the joke I wanted to make was it took 185 years to have enough material of women speaking.
Ooh, bad joke. Tasteless. No, I think it's great.
No, it's awesome.
Hugely empowering, if I can say hugely. Bigly.
Bigly empowering.
Bigly empowering.
Largishly empowering.
And then I think maybe we
Huge.
Do one or two more stories. Do you have any more? You
nope.
wanted to do the story of the plane
yeah.
crash. We'll do that. I'll let you. Do you want to look up the actual story about it? So then you can give kind of your...
Sure.
Or do you
yeah.
wanna...
No, that's fine. I'll just pull it up really fast.
We've talked about this. A judge has issued an order quashing the subpoena that would have required President Thomas S. Monson to testify in a case in which Navajos say they were sexually abused while placed in Mormon homes throughout the church program. So... this group had hoped to subpoena President Thomas S. Monson to have to testify. It is finally put to rest that President Monson will not have to come and testify as part of that court case.
Huh.
So the court case continues to move on, but President Monson will not be subpoenaed as part of it.
Yeah.
Do you still need time? I can do another story.
Yeah, just give me another sec.
So Safina has had enough of the noise coming from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that's just across the road from her house at Vailoa. This is, by the way, in Tonga. or I'm sorry, Samoa. The 70-year-old contacted the Samoa Observer to vent her frustrations about loud music and noise coming from the Mormon church that had continued for more than 2 hours. It's just now that they've decided to turn it down. They have a barbecue sometimes, play volleyball games, and sometimes have ward meetings where they make noise as well because the old people just attend their meetings and leave their children to play outside. It's almost every day that this goes on. Last night, she says, they didn't even finish until after 10 p.m. Hmm. Those people in there, they are not religious people. The noise that comes from there all the time is not even about religious things, she says. There's only one thing that I know they're trying to do with all the loud noise, and that's tempting people to come over to what activities they're doing. You know, try and get more people for their church. So Safina said the noise from the people at the ward used to be just once a week, but now it's almost every day. So after whatever they're doing, then the little kids make more noise by running around and adding to it. They're out of control, and that's because nobody is looking after them. You know, usually kids are meant to be taught. They are supposed to be told to do this here or not do this here. Another thing is they play by making loud noises from cloths, like a lava. It's been going on all last week, but they were right in front of the temple, so we had to go there and tell them off and tell the old people to take their kids away. What's worse is when they finish playing volleyball late at night, then they come out making so much noise on the road, so we had to go and chase them away. But they told us, this is not our road, it's the government's road. I love this story so much. So Safina was so angry and went on to say that we are Vailoa people. We are Vailoa. This family's been here close to 100 years. We can't stand this kind of nonsense anymore. It's not just us, but for other people that are neighbors to this church. We are expressing these complaints for them. I didn't even plan to call you, the Samoa Observer, but I just couldn't stand it. So Safina said that this matter has been going on for a while. It has even led them to take this matter to the LDS church community at Pasega. We went to the Mormon church at Pasega and we talked to the leaders about this so they can give us the names of those in charge here at Vailoa.
Okay.
Get off her lawn.
Okay. All I have to say is that is okay.
Although it is interesting, what are they doing there every night at the church?
I think it's great that they're getting out and socializing and doing something that is productive and not doing drugs. So that's, you know.
Well, that's you.
That's, yeah, I know. But noise. Noise.
Well, I mean, if I live right next door and somebody was loud every night, I would probably start to get annoyed.
Sure.
I mean, I guess I would probably within a reason, right? If it's done by 10, okay.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's their right.
Sure.
If kids are messing in my yard, like coming from the church into my yard and messing stuff up or chucking stuff in my yard, then I get mad.
Yeah.
But if it's self-contained in a place that isn't mine and I'm just being ornery, which is what it sounds like, who knows?
Who knows?
Sad, somber end to this.
Okay. So the background of this, just so everyone knows, so my mom, my mother, my sweet mother, her cousin is basically her best friend.
Okay. First cousin, so
her
like real
first,
cousins.
Her first cousin is her best friend, one of her best friends. So that would make her what? My second cousin? Or would that make her my
cousin removed?
My great cousin or something,
yeah, something like that.
Okay. So so on I guess it was last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Not this last Saturday, the Saturday before. We were celebrating my mother's 60th birthday party. It was a surprise party for her, okay? So she didn't know. My stepdad had planned it. So my mom's cousin, the same cousin, and her husband were at my mom's birthday party. And we were all just having fun, and it was great and good times and whatnot.
Cake was had. Ice cream was had.
Everyone was just having a really wonderful time. And then later that evening, late Saturday evening, is when we learned that that this had happened. So with that, bit of introduction, a plane carrying a Sandy man and his two children that was reported missing Sunday, late Saturday, was likely flying too low when it crashed and killed all three on board, police said. Iron County Sheriff Mark O. Gower said a debris field was located near the lower Bear Valley area northwest of Panguitch by a police helicopter shortly after 11 a.m. on Monday. Police were able to land where the debris was confirmed that all three on board the plane, Randall Randy Wells, 41, and his two young children, Asher, 8, and Sarah, 3, had died. And then it talks about a GoFundMe account. Wells was the bishop of the Mount Jordan Third Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Spencer Wright, the second counselor to Wells in the ward's bishopric, traveled several hours to southern Utah, along with other members of the ward, to help search for the plane. He said, "You're not going to find a better guy than Randy Wells. He'd do anything for anyone," Wright said. "He was a selfless... It was a selfless attitude first, and that's why these people are here." So we learned about this late Saturday night, right? And of course, we're getting all of this through Facebook updates. Mm-hmm. There were so many people looking for the plane.
Sure.
He was coming home. He was scheduled to be home at 10 o'clock at night. And when it didn't happen, people, obviously his wife, who is pregnant, became concerned. And we now know, or at least they assume, that this winter weather moved in really quickly, mm-hmm. and created whiteout conditions. If he had been flying, they said, even if he'd been 500 feet higher, he would have seen the lights of Cedar City. He would have been able to guide himself in that way. They think what happened was he saw himself heading for a particular range of mountains. And so in an attempt to not hit those, he course corrected, mm-hmm. and ended up hitting a different one.
Ugh.
Because he couldn't see.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know really. I mean, so I never met that family.
Sure.
I never met them.
But you certainly.
But they
saw
were
the
my
effects.
Mom. So it's my mother's cousin's husband's. That's his daughter's husband and her kids. Okay. So if you can make that connection. So obviously, their family is devastated right now. We are kind of far enough removed from it that we can stand on the outside and just try and give as much support and love, mm-hmm. and empathy. My mother attended the funeral, which was on Saturday. I thought that it was really tender because she said that they opted to put all of them into one casket. So the father is buried with his two children, which, you know, is this
pretty
sort of
sweet,
beautiful thing. And of course, you know, the hearts just break for the mother who is pregnant now. And I'm sure that, you know, to an extent, she's probably still in shock. And you know how it goes. People bombard in the beginning, mm-hmm. but then as time goes on, they start to fade. And so people have asked me personally, what can they do? I know there's a GoFundMe account. I don't know if it's still up, but
typically they last a month, so I would imagine at the taping of this, it would be.
So if you want to contribute to a GoFundMe, I think that that's great. If you are familiar with this family at all or want to reach out, I would say maybe give it some time.
Right.
Give it some time, and then maybe in a couple of months or whatever, then reach out, because I feel like a lot of times you get so much support at the beginning and then people just sort of fade. And let's be honest, I think she's going to need support for a long time.
Right.
All things considered. So that is that story, and it's tragic. And so prayers and thoughts and good vibrations and everything to just this wonderful woman and, you know, her husband, who sounded like he was just a great
equally
man.
He was wonderful and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, we'll have a link for that at theculturalhall.com in association with this episode if you want to help out with that family. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that if you weren't well enough to attend this week, that you'll be able to attend next week.
And when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.